and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 199, the What Do I Do Now episode. I am back from Atlanta. I've been back from Atlanta for a couple of weeks now. I wasn't even there that long, but so much of my life led up to September 24th, to the big show, the big launch of Birds in the Air, that when I got home after that fabulous experience, I'm like, what do I do with myself? I have no idea. Now, today's episode is going to be a little funky because one thing I did, not right away, but the week after, was record my thoughts about the big quilt show in Atlanta. And I thought I was going to post it sort of as a special episode, a very special episode of the Off-Kilter Quilt, and I didn't. I also recorded sort of a postscript, which was, here's what you could do if you wanted to help me with Birds in the Air, but I feel at this point that's it's a little outdated. So here's what you're going to get. You're going to get me talking now. You're going to get what sounds like a second beginning of the podcast episode, when I start talking about Atlanta. You're going to get references to me talking about Birds in the Air and how you can kind of be a Birds in the Air ambassador. And then you're going to get me again on this day, which is October, let's call it the 11th. It's Tuesday. It's beautiful. We have fall on our hands. Thank goodness. I do not complain about the weather, but I will praise it when it does what I want it to. And right now, it's like 68 degrees. The sky is high and blue. There's a light breeze. Absolutely marvelous. We are so excited to be alive. In any event, I will come back and I will talk a little bit about Birds in the Air. I'm going to put that in the end. So if you're kind of tired of hearing all about Birds in the Air, for which I do not blame you whatsoever, you can just go, okay, that's enough. Goodbye. Going to listen to someone else. Please do. Feel free. But I will talk a little bit about what's going on with Birds in the Air and some ways you might could help if you were of a mind to. Let me update you now on what's happening now. I am busy and happy at work. I am finishing up a middle grade novel. I am, I don't know. Let's call it 30 pages out, maybe a little bit more. But I really feel like I'm going to have a draft done in a couple of weeks. Hurrah! I need to get back to the quilting novel stuff, which is working out very well for me right now. And I do think what I'm going to work on next is the sequel to Birds in the Air. I'm I have a lot of interest in that from my dear friends. Maybe one of you, some of you, a number of you have said they're very curious about what happens next to Emma. And what I may do during the month of November, November is that NaNoWriMo, I don't know what it is, but it's basically write a novel month. I don't really think I can write a novel in a month. I don't even know that that's an advisable thing to do, but I think I could get a good start so that I could have a draft done in the spring. And one of the beautiful things about having my own publishing company, Milton Falls Media, is my editor, the man, is at my disposal. So as soon as I finish a draft, I can give it to him. I can give it to other friends, including Sandy over Quilting for the Rest of Us, who is an amazing editor for Birds in the Air, and Kristen, co-author of So Illustrated, who were amazing feedback givers on Birds in the Air, and I hope that they will help again. When I got back from Atlanta, I was discombobulated. I believe that would be the word. That is one of my favorite words, by the way. I was discombobulated, as one is after one has had a very large project or event that has taken up a great deal of one's time. And for me, that was finishing all the Birds in the Air quilts, which was great fun. It was fun. I took some days off work just to finish quilts and totally enjoyed myself. But when I got back, I knew this from, whenever I finish a novel and I send it off to my editor, Caitlin, in New York, I know that there's going to just be this period of time where I'm just kind of puttering around the house, completely unsure what to do. Not cleaning the house, because that would be far too convenient and useful I'm not capable of anything useful for that period of time. And that's how the week after Atlanta was for me. But the following Sunday, I just wanted to make something. And I was waiting for fabric that I ordered from Carey Quilting Company. They had it. It cost the same to get it from there. Well, actually, no. The shipping cost the same as Fat Quarter Shop. The fabric was actually a little bit more expensive, but I'm trying to support my local folks. So I ordered some American-made brand fabric from them for a baby quilt I'm going to make in the next month. The other thing that I have on my docket is to do my second draft of the Bauhaus Birds in the Air. Now, this Sunday, I was supposed to go do a trunk show at my Modern Quilt Guild, but because of Hurricane Matthew, our meeting was canceled. A lot of people were without power. We had our power out Saturday afternoon from 2 to about 5:30. It came on just in time to order our Saturday night pizza, for which I'm truly grateful. We had a lot of rain. We had a lot of trees down, power out, but otherwise this area was not as badly hit as on the coast, and they're still suffering out there. People have died, and the rivers are just cresting now, so there's going to be more damage. So we were very, very fortunate, but I think wisely, Michelle, the president of my local Modern Quilt Guild, said, you know, we're not going to have our meeting. So, and I had been looking forward to the meeting for a lot of reasons, but one of them was to ask people's opinion on the Bauhaus Birds in the Air, about quilting it, and also the size. I think I'm going to, in the next draft, make it a bit smaller. Now, the pattern that Adele did, and I may talk with Adele about this. Adele, I may be talking to you about this. The pattern ends right as the wingspan ends of the birds, which I actually really like. But I think it probably needs to have at least a little bit around it, particularly because I'm me. And one of the reasons I ended up adding yardage to it, fabric to it, so I could square the quilt. And so maybe that's something Adele and I can discuss. She is actually, by the way, she's just fabulous. I love Adele. And she is going to do two patterns from the Birds in the Air quilts, the Paper Birds in the Air and the Modern Birds in the Air, which I will offer for free on various websites. I'll let you know when that happens, but I'm just absolutely thrilled. I'll be paying her in books. How lovely is that? So anyway, so I have projects queued up, but I wasn't quite ready to do. So I just started cutting out squares. I cut out 3-inch squares. I just was going through my scrap bag and cutting out 3-inch squares and slapping them on my design wall to see. And I just thought, you know, maybe I'll just make a charity quilt. And but I was having fun just playing with the color. And I got maybe about halfway done. Yeah, I mean, I didn't really know what done was. Right, but I thought, well, you know, this could probably be like, you know, 50 inches long, 52, 54, maybe 48 or 42 wide. I don't know, you know, again, just playing around. But when I got up the next day, I got this idea because I the bottom lines were a little bit jagged. We have a squirrel fight going on, and I may have to pause because Travis is looking very interesting, and he's going to start barking. Maybe I'll just walk inside a little bit. Oh, now the birds. Something's going on out in nature there. It's a little frightening to me, quite frankly. Okay. So there's a jagged, the bottom was a little bit jagged because I hadn't finished evening up the rows. And I thought, you know what would look kind of cool is instead of doing more color, is to start putting in white squares. And so to give it this unfinished look. And I was thinking sort of like Gilbert Stuart's unfinished portrait of George Washington. I'm like, yeah, I like that. And I... Okay, so here's the funny thing. As I started thinking, I feel like I've sort of seen something like this, but I can't think what it was. So I just kept going. I'm like, well, you know, and everything is everywhere, right? And so, I mean, I didn't feel like, oh, I'm copying something. I just felt like somewhere in my mind, it just felt like I've seen this. I even went online and started looking around to see if I could find a similar looking quilt, and I couldn't. I posted a picture of unpieced quilt, all the squares lined up on Instagram, and Lazy Daisy responded by saying that someone in her guild had done a similar quilt but with bricks. So it was like a brick wall that kind of faded out. So I was like, oh, so the idea is just apparently in the air. Here's the funny story. As yesterday, I was reading around. I was actually, you know, just kind of going down the rabbit hole of the internet. I had started reading about newsletters and checking out newsletters. And there's a newsletter. In fact, I have linked to it on show notes. And by the way, let me know what newsletters, particularly crafty, particularly quilting newsletters, but any kind of crafting newsletters that you really enjoy, let me know what they are. I'm kind of, because I'm going to do a newsletter and I'd like to get a sense of what I really like and what I'd like to do in my newsletter. So I'm looking around, I'm going through the rabbit hole. I go over to, I think it's called Wonky Press, which is done by, her name may be Jessica. She's a younger modern quilter. And, you know, I like her newsletter. I actually have subscribed to it, but this was an older issue. And it's, you know, it's pretty standard in terms of, you know, she writes about, here's the projects I'm doing, here's some interesting links. But this was an older issue, I guess you call email newsletter still issues. And she was writing about QuiltCon, and I believe some, you know, she had submitted quilts and they'd gotten rejected, or she was anticipating they would be rejected. I can't remember which. So she posted some links to blogs that addressed that. And one of the blogs mentioned QuiltCon Reject on Instagram. And I thought, oh, I'm going to go take a look at that because I'm planning to enter some quilts. And it's a good way to remind yourself that a lot of really great quilts get rejected from QuiltCon. So if you're thinking about entering, but kind of like, ah, can I deal with the rejection? That was sort of a conversation on Twilters a little while ago, I think earlier in the spring. And, you know, and you just look at these quilts and like, you know, you there's some really good quilts that did not get juried in to QuiltCon. So it's like, why not take the risk? You'll be in good company if you don't make it. Well, I was looking down at the quilts and going, yeah, you know, and seeing a lot of quilts that I liked. And then there was this one quilt I really loved. And it was not quite like the quilt on my design wall because the sort of fading out of color was in the middle of the quilt, but it was similar in that it was a patchwork and lots of different colors. I'm like, I feel like I've seen that though before, but it's gorgeous. I love it. I can't believe it wasn't juried in. So I click on it and it's Jay's quilt. It's her Fabric of the Year quilt. So I think, and as soon as I saw, I'm like, of course that's Jay's quilt. And I remember seeing it before and I remember loving it. And I think that must be the quilt that I had in my mind. That must sort of back in the recesses of my brain was, oh, I really like that idea, but kind of fading out. And there was Jay's quilt. So I thought that was so cool because I really didn't remember that it was Jay's quilt. After I looked at it a few seconds, I thought, I've seen this before. And then it was really cool. Oh, yeah, but I really love that quilt. And I'm like, oh, if that didn't get in, I don't know anything that I can do will get in. But that's okay because it's fun. We're having fun. We're having fun with quilts. So that is what I'm working on. But I did get my fabric for the baby quilt I'm going to do. And I think I'm going to do a string quilt. The last baby quilt I did was a string quilt. I'm very frustrated because I cannot find my Gwen Marston book, The Liberated Quilt Making 2. And I know I have it. And I mean, I feel like I know I have it. I thought I had it and I can't find it. So that's frustrating, but the library might have it. Anyway, so I'd like to do some kind of funky string quilt. I think that would be fun. And now I still have to order my fabric to redo Bauhaus Birds in there. So now I have plenty on my plate, which is good news. So what else do I want to tell you? I have been reading a lot. I won't go into every book. I do book reviews. I'll try to remember to just post links to some of the books that I've read recently. One I will mention is I finally finished Truly Madly Guilty by Leanne Moriarty. And that was a book that I had put on hold and waited weeks and weeks to get. And then I got it and I didn't get into it. And part is in the beginning, there are a lot of short, what to me felt like choppy chapters. She's following the actions of seven main characters and then also a few other minor characters. So you're going back and forth. And what you know is that something bad happened at this barbecue, and it goes back and forth in time. So some of the chapters are labeled the day of the barbecue. I'm like, I just don't have the bandwidth for this. You know, this is also kind of into the summer and it was such a cruddy summer. You know, I just was like, had no patience with anything and certainly nothing that was going to task my mind the least little bit. So, you know, I just kind of put it down. And then right before it was due, I had a day where I felt really bad. So I kind of took a day off. The nice thing about being a writer, I'll take a day off to work on quilts. I'll take a day off to be sick. The problem is, of course, you don't get paid. Eventually, you got to make up that time. But so, and I read, and then I finally got into it, and then it was due. And so I was at the library last week. My library has this very new cool thing, which is these sort of best-selling popular books that you have to wait weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks for. You can check out. They have extra copies. They're in their special little place. And you can check them out, but you can only check out three at a time, and you only have a week to read them. So, and there's, you can't renew. So you have to pretty much make a commitment to that book. And so I thought, I'm going to try this again. I think if I give it another chance, I'm going to try to start where I left off. Maybe I'll like it better. And sure enough, I really did. And I read it pretty quickly because I think I got it maybe last Thursday and I turned it in today, Tuesday. So that is very quickly. But I felt like it kind of, the story found its pace. You go through about two-thirds of the book, maybe even a little bit more than that, maybe three-quarters, which is more three-quarters, I guess, before you find out what happened at the barbecue. But at some point I stopped. It's not that I didn't care. I wanted to know. I totally misguessed what it might be, and I don't know if that's my fault as a reader, if she was trying to mislead me or what. But yeah, so it's a long way to go, but I was enjoying the characters. I got more into the developing the characters, and I think she does a good job of really getting into her characters' heads. So I ended up enjoying it. Is it her best book? I don't know. I think her first book is her best book. I know as an author, she probably hates hearing that, because I know a lot of people think my first book is my best book. And as an author, I really hate hearing that, but you also understand it. There is something about the first time you read an author, that book, if it's good, really imprints, and it's really always hard to beat that book. And her first book was What Alice Forgot, which I absolutely love. But this, once I got past the stuff that irritated me, I did really like it. So I'll recommend it, particularly if you don't mind kind of putting up with a little, I don't know, I'm not going to say nonsense, but choppiness at the beginning. So I think that's what I have to tell you right now. If you want to jump off here, if you don't want to hear about birds in the air anymore, good for you. Go on, live your life, come back for the next episode, which I hope I will have posted in 10 days to 2 weeks. And but otherwise, stick around and we'll talk a little bit about birds in the air and maybe some help you could give me. So, okay then. Okay, this is a segue between the opening monologue and the Atlanta report, which actually sounds like I am restarting the episode. I'm not. Hello, and welcome to episode 199. We're almost at 200. I'll need to do something for episode 200, although that's something I say now, and then we might get there, and I'll be like, oh, I'm too busy to do something. I hope that's not the case, because I hope to not be busy for a long time. I have a lot going on, but it's all here. It's all happening within about 10 miles of my home. Like next Thursday, I'm going to talk to some sixth grade classes at a local school. You know, it's going to be about 2 hours of my time. And it's funny because that doesn't seem like a big deal. It will loom large in my head until the actual day when I realize 2 hours is really not a lot of time. I'm funny about time. I'm really funny about time. What I wanted to do today, now I just posted a podcast actually yesterday, because I'm recording this on Thursday, September 29th. I plan to post it sometime next week, but I wanted to get down my thoughts about Atlanta before they slip out of my head. So that's why I'm doing that now. So this is in some ways like a special episode of Off Kilter Quilt. And my plan is this, to tell you about my trip to Atlanta last weekend to the Chattahoochee Evening Stars Quilt Guild show, their biannual show, which was fabulous. I'm going to do that. And then I'm going to talk about some birds in the air stuff, and I'm going to give you the opportunity to sign off, because you may be tired of hearing birds in the air this and birds in the air that. If you're a new listener and haven't heard anything about birds in the air, it's a novel I just published. And I do want to talk about that, and do want to ask you to get involved in a way, but you might not want to, and that's fine. Just click off your radio. I know you're not listening to this on the radio, but I am stuck in the fantasy that we're making homemade radio here, and that's why it's fun. As I said, it's Thursday. It's the 29th of September. It feels a bit autumnal around here, You can hear the autumn winds blowing, maybe. I hope you can hear it. It's such a nice sound. There's some crickets chirping. There's a lot of, I want to say, hushed noises. There's something about fall. I feel like there's always a little bit of a light breeze. Things are drying. I mean, that's what it is, isn't it? The breeze blows, and now things are a lot drier than they were in the lush heart of humid summer. And so there's more noise, more ambient outdoor noise. That must be it. Let me tell you about Atlanta. Now, I've been saying Atlanta now for months and months and months, but this trip actually was to Cummings, Georgia, which is, let's call it an exurb of Atlanta. It's really about 30 or 40 minutes north of Atlanta. But Atlanta is big, and it encompasses and continues to encompass a lot of the countryside, or what used to be countryside, around it. And I live in the Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill area, and the same thing is happening here. The same thing is happening in Charlotte. These are just parts of our country in the southeast where the economies have been growing now for 20 or 30 years. And businesses have been relocating, and people are relocating because the weather's good. And there's air conditioning now. There's been air conditioning since the 1960s, but there are reasons to come down, and so people have come down, and that means we need more houses and more stores and more roads. And going to Cummings, you could see how it used to be countryside, and probably not that long ago. The quilt show was at a local antiques mall, and this mall looked to have several different wings. And somehow, the Chattahoochee girls got hold of one of those wings and cleared it out. I don't know exactly how that happened. But it was essentially, I don't know how many quilts were there. And I wish I had picked up one of the guidebooks. But I didn't, because I wasn't a paying customer. And it felt like those should be left for the paying customer. So I don't know how many quilts were there. But man, they were gorgeous. I saw so many good quilts. And I saw quilts from people we know, or you may know, or at least have heard of, like Pam from Hip to Be Square, had a great quilt. And now, of course, I can't think of the name of the quilt. She has talked about it and shown pictures on her blog. It is sort of like a Harry Potter-esque bookshelf. And it has, you know, we'll call it the magic shelf. Sorry, Pam. So sorry to do this to you. But I've seen pictures of it and thought, oh, that's really cute. Oh, I really like that. But I didn't realize how big it was. And I get to the show, and it won a prize in sort of the big quilt category. It's big. I mean, it may be king size big. It's a big quilt and is stunning in real life. So you do really need to see quilts in person, I think, to get their full effect. I just think there's no doubt about that, and which is amazing, because I've seen pictures of quilts that are stunning, you know, and just so the idea of seeing them up front in person and them being even more stunning is like, wow. But I was really taken by surprise by this quilt. It was just absolutely fabulous. So it just went from being, oh, that's really quilt. I'm sorry, really cute. I'm distracted. There is a weed that has grown in through our screen porch, which makes me concerned about the porch, the screening. But also there's a bug on the weed. Oh, no, it's just a dry leaf. Okay, and this has just grown under. Okay, we're fine. Sorry about that distraction. Maybe I'll edit it out. Maybe I won't. All right, so lots of quilts. Quilt by Quilt and Jenny, one of the twilters. And in fact, she won a prize for her quilt, I think a third place, and it was her Birds in the Air quilt, which was fabulous because she made it. It was like a giant Birds in the Air block. It was a beautiful quilt, and I was so proud of her and for her. Can you be proud for someone? I was pleased for her, proud of her. And also, just a quick Quilt and Jenny report. She's fabulous. She has been a part of my online quilting community, the Twilters, the podcast listeners, quilting podcast community, for a long time now. And in fact, I think we're going to stay together at QuiltCon in Savannah. So it's very exciting, and I think we'll get along beautifully because she's just the best person ever. And it was so good to see her. And Quilt and Jenny is a member of the Guild, and she's the one who invited me to participate in the show. So yay, Quilt and Jenny. But it's so good to meet her. She has a son who's graduating from college, and she looks like her son should be in preschool. She really looks 30 years old. I don't get that at all. I'm at a loss. I think she's taken something, right? She's drank the water. She made the pact with the devil. No one can figure out what's going on. So I get to the show Saturday. We drove down. We, meaning me, the man, and Jack. They came along to help me sell books. We got there Friday night. If you ever need a really nice Holiday Inn Express to stay in, I recommend the one in Cummings, Georgia. Highly, the bed was so comfortable. I slept really well, which usually doesn't happen in hotels, particularly when I'm sharing a hotel space with three people. Got up the next morning, went over to the quilt show about 10:30, and watched the filming of The Stitch with Pam and Lynn. I hope you are Stitch watchers. If you're not, you should be. It's a YouTube show. You can subscribe. And it's just a lot of fun and really interesting talk about quilting. It is unscripted, but feels organized and arranged. And it's not, it doesn't feel extemporaneous. It doesn't just feel like, oh, we're just going to talk about whatever's on our minds. I think that Pam and Lynn sit down with a plan and an agenda. And they are both hilarious. They're both very knowledgeable about quilting. And I feel like I've learned a lot from the show, as well as just enjoyed it while I was quilting. So They did their show for 2 hours with a break in between. So, and I don't know what's going to happen, if that's going to be edited into one show or if they were getting two episodes filmed. In the second session they did, they actually interviewed me, which was fun. They're very easy to talk to. It's just like and, you know, I've known Pam now for a while. So talking to Pam, it's not like talking to a friend. It is talking to a friend. This was the first time I met Lynn, but that was like talking to a friend, and I felt like we were friends by the end of it. So that was very nice. And we just talked about birds in the air, and an interesting question they brought up, because in the book Birds in the Air, Emma, who's has only been quilting 2 months, ends up teaching someone else to quilt, and she recognizes kind of the craziness of that. But there is a point, and it can even happen early on in your quilting, once you learn how to do your quarter inch seam, you can teach someone else how to do that, how to sew blocks together or sew squares together, and it's pretty straightforward. I mean, anyone who actually knows how to use a sewing machine and put on your quarter inch foot really knows a lot more about sewing than almost everybody else in the world. So, but they asked me on Stitch, they asked if I had ever taught anyone to quilt, which I have. And you'll have to hear those stories, you'll have to watch the Stitch. But it's funny to think about, because I actually am not someone who should be a quilt teacher. Vicki was talking about whether or not she was going to teach a class. This is Vicki over on My Creative Corner 3. It's a new quilting podcast, which I recommend you listen to. And I was thinking about how absolutely, I think, useless I would be teaching a quilting class. I can teach a writing class. I do teach writing classes. But quilting classes, and I think, and this I did say on the Stitch, because I end up making up a lot of stuff as I go along, which is perhaps not great for teaching. Anyway, it was very fun. I'd been nervous about it, but as soon as I started talking with Lynn and Pam, I was not nervous, and that's a good experience. Then there was sort of a break. Oh, I should say I got to meet Holly Ann, who is very active on the Twilters. She considers the Twilters her quilt guild. If, by the way, you're new to this podcast, the Twilters is a Facebook group. It's a private group, but anyone who listens to podcasts and wants to be part of this community that is really made up of people who do quilting podcasts and listen to quilting podcasts. We don't actually talk that much about podcasts, except the podcasters will announce, oh, I've posted a new episode. But it's a lot of, we show a lot of pictures of quilts and ask for advice and give support and feedback, and it's a really neat group. And you can join it too if you want. All you have to do is Facebook friend Twilter Gates and say, I'd like to be a Twilter, and Twilter Gates will get you in. So, and at this point, it's still a fairly small group. It's about 200 people, and a lot of people participate. Very fun. But Holly Ann considers the Twilters her guild, and so she was there with the happiest baby in the world, her son Ian, who I believe she said, now I'm trying to remember, she said 7 or 8 months, but less than a year, under a year, the best baby. I didn't hear him cry. He napped a lot. He ate a little bit. He laughed. And when he laughs, he slaps his knee. It is perhaps the most hilarious and wonderful thing I've ever seen. So I got to meet Holly Ann, which was really great. And we chatted and walked around and just had a good time getting to know each other a little bit. Oh, you know, the thing is, this is the interesting thing to me. Meeting quilters who I've initially met online, sort of through their podcasts, like someone like Pam, I feel, you know what, this is weird to me. I just realized I've never met Lazy Daisy in person. I feel like I have. I feel like, yeah, it'll be great to see her, Savannah, but I feel like we've been friends for 20 years now. But Sandy, Quilting for the Rest of Us, also just people who, you know, not just people, but people who listen to the podcast and comment or email. My friend Chris and I emailed back and forth, and we met up at an AQS show. I think it was an AQS show in Cincinnati a few years ago. What's fascinating to me is that people seem to be in real life pretty much who they are online, at least with quilters. I've never met anyone who I've met through my podcast or through Twilters or through whatever where I felt like, oh, wow, you are so different than who I expected you to be. So I don't know why that is. Maybe quilters are just who they are, wherever they are, on whatever social media platform, including real life. So it's great to see everyone, great to talk to everyone. And then who showed up but Adele? And Adele I've spoken of many times in the last few months because Adele is who made... Whoops, hold on. I thought I'd let that plane get past. Adele made the Bauhaus birds in the air pattern for me. So I found the image, said I want to do this quilt, don't know how to do a pattern for it, and she did it out of the goodness of her heart. All right. And she and her sister and a friend drove up from Florida for the show. Adele apparently had been on vacation for 10 days and was stir crazy and just decided the last minute to take I'm not sure how long a drive, an 8-hour drive up to Atlanta, because why not? Because quilters do that. And she put something out in the Twilters group beforehand saying, am I crazy to think about to think about doing this? And it was great because the response was unanimously, of course not, go. And people were like, yeah, I drove 15 hours to go to a show. And, you know, so she came up. And so it was so good to meet her in person. Absolutely lovely. So I gave a reading after lunch, and I talked about my quilts, and I thought that went over well. I should say everyone in the quilt guild that I met was just fabulous and lovely. It seems like such a nice group of people. We sold a bunch of books, which was great. And at the very end, this older gentleman who had been sort of hovering around the edges came up. Finally, sort of the crowd had dissipated. And this older gentleman comes up, and he says, I'm thinking about buying this book for my mother. And I have to say, this guy, he looked like he was 75 or 80 himself. He said, but I have to know, is there any foul language in it? And I said, well, you know, there might be a hell or a damn, but not a lot. I said, but nothing worse than that. And so he bought it. Then I remember later that one character does use the phrase big ass. So I hope that he is not severely disappointed with me, but it's not, you know, but it's not the kind of book where people are dropping the F-bomb or anything. You know, it's dedicated to my mom. We can't do that to my mom. So it was a fabulous time. Every second was really, it really was fun. I made the mistake of wearing a linen shirt. I love the way that linen feels. The shirt is a great color of blue, and I've got to tell you, it just wrinkled right up. And in a way, you know, and it made me realize that I don't usually, when I look in the mirror, I'm usually seeing myself from the waist up, if you know, and really from the rib cage up. And it just happened, I put on the shirt, did this and that, and then looked in the hotel mirror, and of course I could see the whole shirt. I'm like, oh my goodness, I've been wearing this shirt 5 minutes and it's totally wrinkled. And I actually made the man, I didn't tell anyone this, this is the first time I'm confessing this, stop at Kohl's on the way to the show. I said, I'm just going to run in and if I just see something that works, I'm going to grab it. But I didn't. But what was interesting, by the time I had tried on a couple shirts, the linen shirt was even more wrinkled, but it looked better the more wrinkled it was. But still, I see these pictures, and I'm like, what are you thinking about? So that was the one fail of the show. But I just enjoyed seeing everyone so much and talking to people. Again, I made new friends, and I've heard from people who, you know, members of the Quilt Guild who bought the book and have read it and really liked it. So it was just a fabulous experience. So big thanks to Quilt and Jenny for inviting me, and to the Chattahoochee Evening Stars Quilt Guild, who do have the best Quilt Guild name in the world. I think we can all say that. Thanks to Lynn and Pam at The Stitch for interviewing me. I believe that interview will be posted, that episode of The Stitch will be posted, I think Pam said October 14th. So go take a look and see how wrinkled I am. And just the shirt, not so much the face. And so good to, again, to meet people and to meet Adele and to meet Holly Ann and to get to meet people's husbands. People met the man, and now they know what his name is. If you buy the book, you'll know what his name is too. So there you have it. So now I'm going to move on to some birds in the air stuff. So if you don't want to hear about how to be a birds in the air book ambassador, it's time for us to say goodbye and come back to listen to the next episode of the Off Kilter Quilt. Now we're going into the birds in the air talk. Like, if you want to help out. I also actually end up talking about the quilting industry, just some links I put in the show notes, and that may or may not be interesting to you. I keep saying, actually, that is my catchphrase through that discussion. I keep saying, well, it's just interesting to me that so-and-so. I'm sorry when I repeat myself. I'm sorry when I say or sniff, which I did a couple times. I was getting kind of Donald Trumpy with it there. Sorry when I say you know. I know sometimes I say you know a lot. I hope I didn't do too badly this ep. Any event, if you don't want to hear about birds in the air or any of that mess, it's not mess. It's all good news. But if that doesn't interest you, then I say goodbye, and I will see you anon. Okay, me again. Still the same day, October 11th, Tuesday. I'm actually waiting to hear from Jack. It's getting later in the afternoon, and he needs to be picked up, and I wish he had a car, but he didn't. And he doesn't, and that's okay. So if the phone rings, let's just hope it doesn't. Anyway, birds in the air. We're doing really well. Thank you. Thank you if you have gotten a copy of the book. Thank you if you really liked it and gave it a good review on Amazon and or Goodreads. Thank you if you didn't like it and just said, okay, don't really like this, not going to review it. That's good too. That works for me. It's hard as a writer. I think you want everybody to love everything you do, and you want, you know, just all your friends and family think every book you write is just like, this is the best book ever. But it doesn't really work that way, and that's okay. But I do appreciate those of you who've taken the time to let me know how much you like it. I appreciate that. The sales are going well. Here's an interesting thing to me. All right, so I made some calling cards. I posted about this on Twilters, but you may not be on Twilters, so it could be news to you. I didn't make them. The man made them. Who are we talking about? So he designed calling cards, which is so it's just the size of a business card, and the front is the cover of Birds in the Air, and the back is contact information. And the website, actually, it sent you to is quiltfiction.com, and this is our website. I am a person with many websites at this point. You know, I'm a children's book author, and my francisdale.com website is primarily for children's books. I think there's a little bit over there about birds in the air now, in case someone looks me up because they're interested in birds in the air. But I also have the Off Kilter Quilt, which in some ways is a site of many colors, and we need to kind of streamline that. So the man and I were trying to figure out, what do we do in order to draw traffic to Birds in the Air and people, to get people who've never heard of it, but who are interested in quilting stories, who don't know that that Birds in the Air even exists. How do we capture them? And we thought, well, anyone, let's see what we can do to drive traffic from anyone who Googles quilt stories, quilting fiction, quilt fiction, etc. And the man bought the domain name Quilt Fiction. And we are, of course, embedding the site with all those catchphrases or SEOs or whatever they're called. And what I kind of started wondering about is I didn't want someone just to come over to that site and just come into an advertising. So someone who's looking for a quilt book, on the one hand, yeah, I want them to come over and see that Birds in the Air exists, and I want them to go buy a copy for themselves and their 500 guild members. But I just, in a way, I felt like, no, we should offer more. And so we are. There's going to be a quilter's bookshelf. We're going to try to compile a list of all the quilting novels we can find. And I'll let you know when I have compiled a list and that bookshelf is up. And then if you love quilt novels and read a lot of them, come over and tell me what's not there. I don't read a ton of mysteries. I'm familiar with some of the quilting mysteries that are out there, but maybe you know of other ones. I don't read a lot of Amish fiction, but I know there are a lot of Amish quilting books. So again, help me out. That would be great. So I hope that that bookshelf will be up in the next week or so. We're going to have interviews. I've moved my Marie Bostwick interview from Off Kilter Quilt over to this site. I mean, it actually exists on both sites. And there are other writers I'd like to interview. I also will be offering free stories because I've been spending the last year working on short stories about quilting, which I've really enjoyed doing. Some of the stories are actually very long. They're edging toward novellas. And that's been a lot of fun. And in fact, if you go over to the site and you can do this now, if you sign up for my newsletter, you will get in the email, in your email, a free story that's only available to people who sign up for the newsletter. And of course, if you don't like the newsletter, you can unsubscribe as soon as it comes and you'll still have the story. But the story is called Persimmon Moon. It has a cover that the man designed that is quite beautiful. And it's been formatted into a lovely PDF file, and I think you might like it. I like it. So we're trying to offer some things, but I have other stories as well that we'll post over a period of time so that there is real content. And what I'd also like to do is some writing contest for quilters who want to write stories, who want to write their own quilt stories, because I love that idea of having a place for people to share their own stories and their own fiction writing. So that's all coming. We're building it. It's up. You can actually go there now, quiltfiction.com, but it is still under construction. I hope you will come sign up for the newsletter, if just to do it, and I hope you'll like the newsletter, which I plan on doing every other week. It may be better. I don't know whether it would be either every week or every other week. I think once you get to, maybe it'll be every month. I don't know. Tell me what you think. So that's something that you could do to help support the effort. Is just sign up for the newsletter. Get your story. Please do. The other thing is, if you are in a guild and you would like some Birds in the Air calling cards, let me know. Email me fdowell@nc.rr.com, or just leave a comment if I can ping back through your email and I'll get in touch with you to get your address. And, you know, and we'll figure out how many you might want. I've got lots and lots. They're not that expensive, so we will make more. If you have a local quilt shop where you might be able to leave some cards, that would be wonderful too. If you are going to a quilt show, big or small, it does not matter. Let me know, and let me send you some cards that you can put on the giveaway tables. Kelly asked for some cards, or offered to take cards. I don't think she was begging for them. She wanted to do me a favor. And her guild had a big show in Ohio this weekend. And so I think I sent her, Kelly, I can't remember if I sent you 50 or 100. I have to tell you, we are just, you know, this is just trying something out, right? Like, does this kind of marketing work? Yes or no? And it's a fairly inexpensive way to experiment. Well, I have to tell you, the sales of the book the last 2 days, I mean, it's not like, and we've had hundreds of sales, but we've had 10 or 20 paperbacks sold. And, you know, when you're selling the books yourself, that actually is really nice. So we can't say for sure that this traffic is coming from Ohio, from the quilters of Ohio, but it might be. It's an interesting correlation. So if you've got a guild, if you've got a big show you're going to, let me know. And, I'll send you some cards. That would be really helpful. Another thing that would be great is if you would go to your library, your public library, and ask them to order a copy. I am in shock because I have no idea how this happened, but my public library, who I have not told about this book, have not contacted, has 5 copies. So the man put Birds in the Air on NetGalley. And so, and a lot of librarians access that site. So it may be that somebody from my local public library saw it on NetGalleys. I do not know, but that was quite a thrill. So that would be fabulous. If you have a local bookstore that you like and you think would be amenable, see if they'll order some copies for the store. I'm happy. If you have a local quilt shop that you think might carry it, and if you're in and you can ask somebody who works there, preferably the owner or the person who makes those decisions, see if they will, and just let me know. Just get in touch with me and give me the contact info, and actually the man will contact them and arrange that. So any of those things would be so super helpful. We are going to try different kinds of marketing. I think we'll probably try to get it in some catalogs. My mom is going this weekend to see Jenny Doan. And so I have sent her a copy of the book for Jenny Doan. I love Jenny Doan. We all love Jenny Doan. Like, wouldn't it be great if Jenny Doan, like Birds in the Air. And by the way, so again, trying to think about how can I get this book out into the world? Now that the Twilters have done all they can do. I thought, well, you know, I'm looking at different magazines. And I had never looked at Jenny Doan's Block magazine. And so I ordered it. I ordered Block, the most recent issue, which I think is winter 2016, and the second Modern Block. They're really nice magazines. They're ad-free. They're only $6. Now, if I understand correctly, and I'm not sure I'm entirely clear on this, but I think that at least Block is, the quilts are from tutorials that Jenny Doan has done on YouTube. And they're nice quilts. And Block, they're very traditional quilts. They're very well done. I love the colors. And there's, you know, a bit, and most, but mostly they are Jenny Doan. Whereas in the Modern Block, they're different quilt makers, including my girl Victoria Finley Wolf, but others as well. And it's nice because in the Block, Jenny Doan writes a lot, and she writes about her childhood and she writes about family life. And so they're quite nice magazines. I'm not right now much of a pattern girl, but there are some quilts in the Modern Block that I could see doing. So, and I'm curious to see the first one as well. So I may end up ordering that. There's really no place there's no advertising and there's no front matter where it's like products we love, new books we like. So there's not that. So as far as an avenue for advertising or marketing Birds in the Air, those magazines aren't helpful. But just as being really nice magazines, I really like them. If you have ideas, let me know. We're going to be doing mailings to all the quilt magazines that are still in business. And I don't know. So, but you might be thinking about something that has not even occurred to me. Shoot it out. Let me know. Shoot it out. Shout it out. Email me, I think is really what I'm trying to say. And I would appreciate it. As I talked about a lot in Atlanta, what has been wonderful for me as a quilter is the community of quilters. And I have been really touched and by how much help I have been given and how much support from this community for this book. It's really exciting and really nice. So now I'm asking for more. Thanks. And if there's anything I can do for you, I would be happy to. I don't know what that is, but maybe you have an Etsy shop that you would like me to plug on the show. I will. I believe in bartering. And so if you're like, yeah, give me 100 cards, I'll take them, or 25 cards, I'll take them to the guild meeting or the show. And by the way, I sell patterns on my website. Can you say something about that? Can you put a link in your show notes? I would be happy to. I love that idea of everybody just kind of helping each other out and bartering. I'm trying to get, here's a question, and I don't mean to embarrass Adele, but it's like Adele wants to be paid in books and I will pay Adele in all the books she wants. But if I were ever to convince her to take money, and maybe money's just too dirty for what this is, this amazing relationship that Adele and I are establishing. But how much, if you are a pattern designer, how much do you charge? I have no idea. So let me know. Comment or email me in case, Just be interesting to know. I feel like Adele's work is invaluable and above price. No, but I would like, it'd be interesting to me to know. But anyway, I will give Adele all the books she wants, but money too, if that doesn't sully our relationship. So, but I like the idea of trading back and forth and working together. So if there's any way we can work together, let me know. I think that it's kind of neat. I mean, we're not all in business here, right? And I know that, you know, so many of you do things. It's just, we're quilt makers. We spend hundreds of dollars and hundreds of hours of time to make things to give away. So we just do that. And that's kind of what, you know, one of the reasons I want to put these stories online and make them accessible to people. Sort of like, you know, it sounds, just say, you know, here's some stuff I'm doing. I just want you to have. Here's some patterns. And, you know, it's like, have them. You know, just take them and do what you want. It doesn't have to all be about sales. I will end up, I want to, at the very end, thank people for comments on the last couple episodes. But I also, in the show notes, I put some links to a couple things. Sandy over at Crafty Planner, I like that podcast a lot. And, you know, she talks with a lot of people who are in the quilting industry, a weird, weird phrase. I still can't quite wrap my head around the quilting industry. And she recently talked with the host, former host of the former podcast, Crafty Pod, who I want to say his name is Diane. But I could be wrong, and I don't have it right in front of me. It's a really interesting interview. So she did, let's call her Diane, knowing that I may be totally disrespectfully getting her name wrong. So she was the host of Crafty Pod, and also a designer, a book writer, just very involved in the business. And I think for a while was doing pretty well, and then it was doing less well. And I think then it was becoming just less fun. It was fascinating to hear her talk about it. And then in her newsletter that Sandy does, she sent out some links today. And one of them was to a recent blog post from a modern long arm quilter. And I also posted that link, who's also has just sold her machine. Because she's like done with it. And it's interesting too that she talks about how she's just done with the quilt industry and the backbiting and the BS and all these things. Can you tell I'm walking around around my house, by the way, inside and outside? But yeah, that she's just done. That it's no fun, that it's sucking the life out of her, and the amount of time she has to spend online, on social media, it's just like there's so much time and energy that goes into that, into selling yourself. I'm actually at this point sort of adding my own spin to this. But I think it's interesting. I think it's interesting as someone who doesn't have interest in joining the quilting industry, although I have friends who are very much active in it. And I think people who are really successful, like, Krista Watson, who's just, an amazing teacher and machine quilter and book writer and all of those things. And she seems to be making a go of it. And I hope she's wildly successful. So I'm interested, for Krista's sake, maybe, or just because I know people who are making a go of it, but also just as someone who, just as kind of a human interest story and a women's interest story, because these sort of cottage industries are not new unto us, right? In the 30s, women had cottage industries. And you can look at these craft magazines from the 30s, and and you see people are selling patterns, and people are making quilts, and people are selling quilts, and there are actually kind of, real cottage industries where women are sitting around making quilts to be sold at Macy's. So it's women have always looked for a way to make a living from home using their skills as craftspeople. But it's hard, and I think I would imagine, unless you just get a huge kick out of it, that the time you have to spend on social media, creating an audience, and also creating a persona in a way, right, that the people will respond to, that it could be really not just time-consuming, but sort of soul-sucking after a while. Because once you get into that and you're posting stuff on Instagram and you're waiting to see how many likes you get, and the same with Facebook, and are people responding, and if they're not responding, what does that mean? But it's interesting to me too, and I know I keep saying it's interesting to me. It's interesting, but it just is. That the rise of our latest cottage industry, at least for crafters, does seem congruent with, not congruent, con something. Jenny, what am I trying to say here? Running on parallel tracks is, I don't think it's parallel tracks. I think it's because it's social media has allowed it to grow in a way. I think women, and I don't want to be stereotyping because but I think women are very relational. And I think how we use social media when we are in business, we are trying to establish relationships with people. And I notice even with Jenny Doan, who's just, I mean, an amazing business person. If I were doing an MBA, I would like write my thesis on her and what she's done with the Missouri Star Quilt Company. Just incredible. But she personalizes things. And I've heard she is a great public speaker. And I can't wait to get the report from my mom. But I feel like I've talked with Sandy from Quilting for the Rest of Us, who's seen her. And said, and she may have talked about that actually on one of her podcast episodes, how good Jenny Doan is. But I order these magazines and I get my, first of all, when I get the email confirming my order, it's just this lovely little fairy tale. It was really funny and clever. It wasn't just your order has been received. It was like a little story. And it made me laugh. I thought, how delightful. And then when I got my order, it's like, hi, Francis. Hope you enjoy your magazines. A little handwritten note. I'm like, this is brilliant. This is brilliant, because I was just like, how nice is that? How, and I do respond to it, even, even they're just doing it, that's their business policy, is you make a personal connection of a sort with everybody that you do business with. I'm like, how smart is that? But that's very female, I think. Am I wrong? You can correct me. You can come back with the argument, but I do feel like we're relational and it does affect me. Even like when I order from Fat Quarter Shop, which I do quite a bit, and then I get the email back and it's always from Kimberly Jo Jolly. It's not from Fat Quarter Shop. It comes from Kimberly. And it's like, hi, Francis, your order will be out, blah, 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 best Kimberly. And just like, I feel like she's a real person. And I know she's a real person who is corresponding with me, a real person. So it's smart. But I think if you're trying to make something happen in an industry where it's hard to make money because people don't want to pay you the value of your product, right? We know that as quilters, not that we're trying to sell, but we know how much a quilt is really worth, and we know we cannot, for the most part, get it on the market. One of the things that, if it is Diane talks about with Sandy, is too that young people getting into the market with their, will undersell because they're trying to create an audience, a market base, whatever that is. And so which makes it worse, and I hate it when I see on Etsy quilts for under $100, baby quilts, because the fabric alone costs 75, and then so people aren't even paying themselves for their time, they're barely paying themselves for their materials. So I seem to have gone off on a tangent here, but I do find that all, as I said, interesting. Because it's what we're doing right now. And we're in a time and place where business is changing and business, there are new business models, right? And for good and for ill, I think. But I feel that one of the best things that we can do, those of us who are not trying to make big business, right? Are not trying to make a living off of patterns or fabric, but are maybe trying to supplement what we do and also just have fun and be part of a community. We can help each other. And so, if there's anything I can do to help you in exchange for you taking some cards around or going to your library, and saying, order this book, please, let me know what it is. I'd love to help you. Okay, I want to say thanks to everyone who's commented on the last few episodes. I've not done a good job of that. So, I'm just going to say thanks to Holly Ann, Kelly the Fifth, to Amy Laura. Thanks to Vivian, to Krista and Leah. Let me see, scroll in to Diane. I got a number of great comments like, I'm buying your book now. Thank you. Thanks to Erica. And I said Vivian. Thanks to Dory from Hobbies Up to Here, a wonderful podcast I hope you're listening to. Thanks to Molly. And thanks to Heather NBC, to JM Abercrombie. another Holly Ann, Jean, Vicky, and I believe I have mentioned My Creative Corner 3, but I'll mention it again. If you're not listening to Vicky's podcast, you should be. Thanks to Lizzie. Lizzie, I don't have this picture to put up on this week's episode, although maybe I'll have it tomorrow. The man just did a great job of documenting all my birds in the air quilts, and I said you have to take a picture of the back of this meeting of the geese, because that's where I use a big chunk of fabric that you sent me, and I want you to see it. So actually, maybe I'll just email it to you. Thanks to Nancy, and thanks to Jane, who, and not my mom Jane, but my other friend Jane, sent a link on burying the knots when you're machine quilting, and it's Aaliyah Day, and I've included that link on the show notes. Thank you everyone for taking the time to comment, to email, and your comments in your head, they're really nice. I appreciate them. And you can email me, by the way, at fdowell@nc.rr.com. If there's any, if you want some cards, let me know. I will send them to you in the mail. They're very cute. And stay in touch. Be good to yourself. Oh, it's fall. Let's make some quilts.